Matt Reister, Executive Director for Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. Thanks for your interest in this episode of Homer Larson Live, which is a series of sermons preached live by Pastor Homer Larson, who served as senior pastor at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa from 1953 to 1996. I'd also like to say thanks to Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry for sponsoring the Homer Larson Live series. You'll have a chance to learn more about their organization and ministry during the announcements at the end of this sermon. And one more thing before we get into it. The Homer Larson Live series does not exist primarily to raise up a man, but rather to raise up the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth of God's word, which the Lord gifted and used the man, Pastor Homer Larson, to communicate clearly and passionately. We pray that you will be inspired. We hope that this will help raise the bar around preaching for everyone who listens, and we trust that God will accomplish his purposes through the message you're about to hear. I'll talk to you afterwards. Thanks again for finding us and making this a priority.
Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to come into your house, to sing our praises to you, to hear your word, to receive your sacrament. Help us, O God, to realize how serious this really is. For we have walked in a world this week and many weeks before that was completely indifferent to you, insignificant they thought you were. Our souls are filled with that, and soon we find ourselves slipping into some of that thinking. So we pray that today, through your word, we may hear your voice, that we may be built up in our faith, strengthened in our convictions, and that we may move on to be your witnesses in the kingdom of God. This is our prayer that we ask in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Friends in Christ, if I'm realistic, I believe that I have to admit that many of my friends, young and old, have no interest whatsoever in the things of the kingdom of God. They seem to be perfectly content where they are. Are they getting along fine? What is there to worry about? That is true when I talk with some of my young friends. They feel that life is full and there's no need of God, no need of his word. It'd be interesting to walk through the dormitories this week and just see this morning and see how many feel that way. This is reality. This is the way it is. They're saying, well, we have a good life. We come from a good family. They're supportive of us. We look forward to the days ahead. It's kind of exciting to know where we're going to end up and what we're going to do and who we're going to marry. And so they enjoy what's given to them as far as recreation and fun is concerned, and they just move on. That's the way it is for a lot of young people today, from junior high right on through. But not for all. There are those who are thinking pretty seriously. And they say, yeah, this is true. We do have all that we need plus a great deal more. We do have these supportive parents. But no mistake should be made that there is something inside of us that isn't quite the way we want it to be. There is a void there. We've watched adults. Many of them who have belonged to the church and have been active in the church, and there is something there that is not just right. We don't want that to happen. I'm quoting one of our grandchildren who is a senior at the University of Wisconsin. I spent a day and a half with him this week. He's an interesting young chap, and obviously, as his grandpa, I'm very prejudiced that he's a nice young man. We talked about this postmodernism. I don't know if you're acquainted with it or not, but I asked him, Dane, do you know anything about postmodernism? He asked me, what do you want to know, Grandpa? What do you want to know? I'm a senior at Wisconsin. What do you want to know? So we began to tie into some of this. And I said, you get a lot of this from the classroom? Oh, he said, that's not the main source. Don't you realize that postmodernism thought has infiltrated our whole society? You don't have to go to the university. The university is not to blame for that now. It is a part of the thinking of our whole society, including Disney World. Interesting, huh? Interesting. I said to him, Dane, if you come back to this city, what do you think you'll do? Will you belong to a church? Of course I'll belong to a church, he said. I'm not a pagan. He said, I'm not so sure that I belong to the church from which I came. He said, I have to have a church that really, really, really is serious about feeding me with the Word of God. This is the only place that I'll hear this. Well, the golf didn't amount to much, but the conversation was just tremendous. There's another side. That's true in every age, and we don't have time to go into these ages, but you take our young parents, those who are in that age from the 25s on to the 50s. There are those who say that everything is going along just fine. Our marriage is great. Our family is great. We have a lot of joy. We're healthy. We enjoy our work. We're not multimillionaires, but we have sufficient money. But others in this same bracket will say, there's something that I need. To use the words of our text that I'm coming to in just a moment now, there is a hidden treasure that I haven't gotten a hold of yet. And therefore, my life is incomplete. You go on to those who are in the older bracket, into the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. Had a good chat with one of my buddies. I enjoy him very much. We drink coffee together occasionally and do some things. And I'll say to him, how do you feel as you get older about religion? That's a term at least they can respond to, religion. Well, he said, you know, I never came from a very religious family. We didn't go to church. My father and mother didn't go to church. We're kind of practical people. We believe that there is some kind of a higher power you people call God. And if there is this God or this higher power, then we're having to bet on this, that if he's got something for us after we breathe the last breath, then we have lived a good enough life that he'll just wink at us and we'll go in. But if you seriously talk with some of the older people, and if you want to try that, just go to the Lutheran home and begin to talk to them about dying. There are many of them who still have no peace. They're not quite sure. They don't have that blessed assurance of which we sing. They're hoping. Many of them, if they come from one of our Lutheran churches, pretty well know the doctrines. But they're really wondering, at least some of them, not all of them, certainly not all of them. They're wondering, is it really true? Is it really true? Well, friend, if you're in that group that you love life and you don't want to give it up, but there's still something missing. And I assume that in a congregation like we've had at both services this morning, there may be at least one or two who say that there is something missing. Not Homer Larson, but God Almighty has a tremendous word for you. And this is my text. And my prayer is that it will be expounded according to his word and his will. It is found in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verses 44 and 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now here is a story of the picture of two different people. Both of them knew that there was something lacking in their lives. Now both of them were kind of going at that in different ways as to how they were going to get it. Now the first one didn't really put forth a great deal of effort. He was walking through a field. Maybe he was one of these people who went out in the morning and just walked and walked and walked. And so he walked through a field. And lo and behold, he saw something sticking up there, and it was a pot. And he dug it up. And he looked into the pot, and this is a treasure. So the Bible says that he left the field and went and bought another piece of land and then put the treasure down in the hole. Now he had made the great discovery. He wasn't expecting it that day. When he walked through the field, whatever he was doing there, he didn't expect that at all. He thought it was just another day. But lo and behold, suddenly he was confronted with a treasure. How in the world does that apply to sitting here or standing here today for you and for me? Maybe we're one of these people who still have something that's lacking. You come into church. Don't expect anything different to happen. Now, honest with me, when you drove here to the church this morning, did you really expect anything spectacular to happen? Let me tell you a story. A story of my friend John. He lives right here in Cedar Falls. He's just a little bit older than I am. John rapped on my study door one day here some months ago, probably a couple of years ago. And he said, "Have you got time? I want to talk to you. I've had a tremendous experience." "Come right in," I said. Here was his story. Interesting. John says, "You know, I've always been a very, very religious man. I go to church every Sunday. We never miss. Raised our children in the church. Well, it was Sunday morning. We got up. We showered. We put on our clothes, our Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And then," he said, "we were going to worship, and after church, like every Sunday, we'd go out for brunch with the same people. You can see us," he said, and then he gave me the name of the restaurant. "That's where we are." Well, he said, "I went to church this morning. I was sitting there. We had a guest pastor, a man somewhat of an evangelistic type, and he began to talk about who we are. First, I didn't like it at all. He was getting a little bit too personal. After all, this was one of the mainline churches in Cedar Falls, Iowa, and he was telling us that some of us were out of a relationship with God. How did he know?" Then he began to talk about sin, and that sin separates us from God. And if we're separated from God, we're lost for all eternity. I preferred this, that we're all saved. And then he went on to say, "There's only one way. And that is that God has loved us so much that he came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ, and he suffered and he died on a cross, and he paid the price for our sins." And then he said, "All of this is fine, but you have to receive Christ Jesus." And he said, "You can receive him today. You can come." John said, "I embarrass some people." I took him literally. I don't know how I got down there, but he said, "In this mainline church that doesn't know the meaning of an altar call, I went down front. And I said, here I am." And during the course of that day, that morning, empowered by the Holy Spirit, John received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. He went home and he was a different person. He began to grow in the faith, and now this time has gone long. And he's not an emotional man. He was a businessman, a very successful businessman. But he's going around to different places, Bible conferences, where there are some excellent speakers. And he had just dropped in to tell me the second visit about the one he had been to. Now you say, "Are you really leveling? Are you really leveling with us? Is this really a true story? It is, my friend. John lives right here in town. I'm not going to give you his last name. But I'll tell you this, and I didn't get any bias from the first service. Maybe it's not that important to you. If you wonder if I'm telling you the truth, you see me after the service, I will take you personally to John. And he can tell you, if you're one of those seekers, what it is to have Christ meet you in a church service. And you come to be a new person in Christ. I was a religious man, he said. I believe that Jesus was a good teacher. But when I left there, he was my Savior and Lord. And he's enriched my life from that day on. The second one, he's a little bit different. He's more active. He's going out and find out what's missing in his life. He's a merchant. He has all kinds of pearls and jewels and everything, but he goes to the auction. And when he goes to the auction, he finds, here is the one I've been looking for all the time. And when he found it, sold everything that he had. And he bought that pearl. The pearl of great price. Jesus Christ. How do you apply that to sitting here or standing here this morning? Here it is, friend. Jesus Christ is that pearl. Presented as clearly as we can, he is the one who has died for us and has been raised for us. And if we will receive him empowered, of course, by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we will receive him in faith, he will change our lives. My illustration for that is Tom Phillips. At 37, the executive vice president of Raytheon. At 47, the president of Raytheon. A person who had been raised in the Episcopal Church, nothing wrong with the Episcopal Church. He said, there was something lacking in my life. That, see, it's one of these seekers. And he felt what was lacking was in the area of the religious. Well, Raytheon was having a meeting in New York City and the day was over and Tom Phillips wanted to find something to do and he picked up the newspaper and learned that Billy Graham was preaching at the gardens. So he went over to the Madison, to the garden there in New York City. And there he listened to the evangelist. Now, that night, the Holy Spirit used Billy Graham to put it all in shape, all in order. He was seeking, you see. Tom Phillips was really seeking. Like the man, the second man of our text. And when Billy said, if you will receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he will come into your life, make you a brand new person. Tom Phillips, empowered by the Spirit, received Jesus Christ into his life. Changed it. He said, I don't like New York. But he said, that night it was the most beautiful night that I can remember. It was raining, but I walked block after block after block. Finally got back to my hotel room, got down on my knees, and thanked God for making me a brand new person. Tom Phillips led Chuck Colson to Jesus Christ. Can't introduce you to him. Man, I'd like to have an interview with him too. You could arrange it, we'd go there. But I can tell you that story is printed in the book written by Chuck Colson called Born Again. Born Again. I've told it almost verbatim. Now, where do we fit in closing? Where do you fit into this whole picture? I think we have to be in one of three categories. Number one, maybe you're a person who came here this morning never thinking that anything was going to be any different. You're going to go out to brunch or whatever you're going to do. It's going to be a nice morning. You're going to go to the Lord's Supper. But you're still looking for something more in this Christian faith. Here it is. Your sins are forgiven, and you are restored into fellowship with God. If Jesus Christ is in your heart, let him in. There's a treasure. You may be one of those who is seeking. By golly, there's got to be more to it than this. You're looking around. Here's the pearl. Here in the church, people, here's the pearl. Christ. Christ alone who can forgive you. Christ alone who can restore you into fellowship with God. Christ alone who can take the old and make it new. Christ alone who can assure you that you're going to go to heaven. Christ, that's it. I can't open your heart. I can't open your eyes. I know the Holy Spirit alone can do that. But this is a privilege. There are without a doubt many of you who know Jesus Christ in a very real living way. And you've grown up in him. You've walked with him. You are his church, baptized believers in Christ Jesus, who know him, trust him. Where do you find yourself in this text? All of those outside of Christ are lost. Some of them are seekers. If they're not seekers, I don't know if I'd waste too much time. You may want to try it. I've given up. But there are so many who are seekers. And you're going to be in contact with them this week. They may be in your family. I've got them in mine. They may be among your circle of friends. They may tell you there's a vacuum in my life. There's something that makes me dreadfully unhappy. Tell them the story of Jesus. Tell them what it says in the 13th chapter of Matthew. And tell them that I've had a good life and everything else, but my greatest treasure is Jesus Christ crucified and raised that I might be his forever. Amen.
This has been Homer Larson Live, a series of sermons preached from the pulpit at Nazareth Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa, where Pastor Larson served from 1953 to 1996, and published by Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry, where Pastor Larson was a broadcast preacher from 1962 to 2013. In addition to this series, many of Pastor Larson's radio programs dating back to the early 2000s are archived on the CC Broadcast, which is available for free wherever you're listening to this. Besides the CC Broadcast, our weekly radio program, Christian Crusaders also hosts the CC Podcast, Daily Dose Devotions, where we've archived hundreds of devotions on our way through the entire Bible, and the CC Podcast Conversations, which includes dozens of inspiring interviews with interesting Christians. Please see the show notes for links to all these free resources or visit ccpodcasts.com for more information. We want to give a very special thanks to our series sponsor, Western Home Communities and Fresh Wind Ministry. Western Home Communities began in the early 1900s as, quote, the Western Old People's Home, quote, a home for the aged. Started by the Evangelical Association in one of that denomination's western states, which happened to be Iowa, more specifically, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Since then, a second campus has been added with 150 acres for villas, independent and assisted living, and nursing communities. Today, Western Home Communities remains a charitable Christian service organization that assertively creates fulfilling lifestyles for those they serve. You can learn more at westernhomecommunities.org. Fresh Wind Ministry provides Christ-centered spiritual care and programming within the Western Home Communities. They focus on building trusting relationships with residents, staff, and their families. Chaplains visit, counsel, and walk alongside residents in all levels of care offered by Western Home Communities, including hospitalizations, crisis, and end-of-life care. Fresh Wind Worship has services in the Diamond Event Center every Sunday at 10:30 a.m., which can be viewed on Facebook and YouTube. For more information, visit westernhomecommunities.org/freshwind. Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry is fully donor-funded. If you'd like to support our work, you can do so online at christiancrusaders.org or by mailing a check to Christian Crusaders, 7401 University Avenue, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Also, feel free to email us with questions or for more information about this episode or any of our other programs. You can send emails to info@christiancrusaders.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.